It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
As a youngster, one of my favorite treats was a thick slice of freshly baked bread slathered with butter and coated with strawberry jam. Now that I think of it, it just wouldn't be the same on bread without yeast, unleavened bread. So what's to celebrate in a festival called the Festival of Unleavened Bread? If you've been following the past few podcasts, you'll understand that there's a structure to our approach on each of these feasts. From the institution of a festival in ancient Israel, to the fulfillment of the reality of that festival in Jesus Christ, to the significance of that reality in the present for followers of Jesus. From ancient institution to Christological fulfillment to present significance. Let's begin with institution. As with the other festivals, take a moment to reacquaint yourself with the instructions to ancient Israel. In Leviticus 23, verses 4 to 8, we read, "These are the Lord's appointed feasts, the sacred assemblies you are to proclaim at their appointed times. The Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. On the 15th day of that month, the Lord's Feast of Unleavened Bread begins. For 7 days you must eat bread made without yeast. On the first day hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. For 7 days present an offering made to the Lord by fire, and on the seventh day hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work." Although we won't be going through all of these points, you will have to note that the festival began with the Passover and lasted for 7 days. The festival also involved daily sacrifices, Numbers 28, verses 16 to 25. These were an aroma pleasing to the Lord. No one in the community of Israel was to eat yeast. In fact, it wasn't even allowed in their homes. If they did eat yeast, it was serious. They were to be cut off from the community of Israel. Exodus 12, verses 15 and 19. To us, cutting a person off from the community for eating a piece of bread with a bit of yeast seemed to be a bit over the top. What's the big deal? By way of explanation, here are a few insights. First, what is yeast? What's its importance? Simply, yeast is a fungus that ferments carbohydrates. In bread dough, it expands and results in the fluffy loaves we are familiar with. Yeast, as a leavening agent, is a very small thing that infiltrates and grows. Usually, leaven or yeast is understood to symbolize something negative, like sin. For instance, Jesus warned his disciples to be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, by which he meant their teaching that resulted in hypocritical and faith-denying lies. Second, the action of eliminating leaven from a person's diet and home was an expression of that person's faith. We have already seen in the Passover how the action of painting blood on doorframes was a sign of faith. So eating non-yeasted bread was also a sign of faith, marking that person as a true member of the covenant community of Israel. In this context, Bible scholar Douglas Stewart writes, "Not to be faithful is not to belong to God's people, even if living among them, and therefore not to enjoy their covenant blessings in the long run." In 2 Chronicles 30, King Hezekiah was calling on an unfaithful nation of Israel. He was calling them back to God. Idolatry had slowly but surely infiltrated the life of the nation. It had led them away from God. After many years of neglect, the people gathered to celebrate the Festival of Unleavened Bread. It was at that time they had a national house cleaning of their idolatry. Quote, "They removed the altars in Jerusalem and cleared away the incense altars and threw them into the Kidron Valley." 2 Chronicles 30, verses 13 and 14. I think we may be beginning to get a glimmer that this festival was about cleaning house, getting rid of things that infiltrate and grow to compete with God for our hearts. Let's move on to see how this festival was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. As with the other festivals, the Apostle Paul declares its fulfillment in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul is speaking to a situation that was allowed to exist in a church community. A man was living in sexual immorality with his father's wife, probably his stepmother. We can only speculate how this had developed. Nevertheless, it had infiltrated and grown in the life of their church community, a Jesus community. There is some suggestion that the Corinthian Christians were somewhat proud of their toleration, even acceptance of this immorality. Perhaps they thought it was a mark of mature Christian grace to embrace this couple's sinful lifestyle. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 to 8, "Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast, that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth." Yeast is used here as a negative metaphor. Malice and wickedness had been allowed to infiltrate and swell in this Jesus community. The remedy was to acknowledge the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that had destroyed the power of sin, including this sin, and to live lives that are faithful to the new covenant of Jesus Christ. That involved a house cleaning that purged out the yeast of malice and wickedness and replaced it with sincerity and truth. What does that mean for us today? What is the significance of this for you in your here and now? Well, first, as we learned in a previous podcast, a one-day festival was fulfilled in a historical event by Jesus Christ. The Passover, for example, was fulfilled in the historical event of the crucifixion of Jesus. On the other hand, a seven-day feast, such as this one, the Feast of First Fruits, is expressed in a way of living 7 days a week. We are to live life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as people without yeast in our lives. This is a seven-day feast. It expresses something of how followers of Jesus live their lives every day of the week. Now, second, we are to have a house cleaning of any yeast or leaven in our lives. What might this look like? What are the little things that infiltrate our lives and grow to compete for our hearts? Listen to Colossians 3, verses 5 to 14, and its language of intentionally taking off and clothing oneself, stripping off the wrong practices, the sinful practices, and putting on God-honoring, Christ-exalting practices. Where's your heart in all of this? Here's an example. Pornography is reaching epidemic proportions in the lives of men and, to some lesser extent, women. Followers of Jesus Christ are not immune to this sin. As pornography is allowed to infiltrate our lives, it grows. It alters the way we view people, viewing and then treating them as objects for personal gratification rather than as humans who are image of God. It has a devastating negative impact on, among other things, our minds, our hearts, families, time, and bodies. A house cleaning includes, one, admitting to yourself before God that engaging in pornography is a sinful practice. This calls for a change of heart. Two, confessing this sin to God and claiming His forgiveness and cleansing. For example, 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess, that is if we name our sins and agree with God about His judgment on them, if we confess, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. And number three, stripping off the sinful practice and replacing it with God-honoring practice. This includes removing whatever enables the sinful practice. If that's a computer, out it goes. Intentionally engaging in wholesome practices and becoming accountable to someone else who is a mature, responsible, and wholesome follower of Jesus. These are some of the ways in which we can celebrate God's grace in living our Lord's victory over sin in our lives.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. McDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.